All right, we are live on BBS. If people have joined on BBS yet, welcome to the call. Conference phone line, just somebody joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, good morning. This is Terry.
Hi, Terry. Good morning. You sound a little better. How are you?
Yeah, a little better. I am.
All right.
Good morning. This is Donna from Kingman.
Hey, Donna. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good.
Good morning, Donna. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi, you might let me know that Wynn just sent the email.
Yes. Yeah, I saw that. Joel, have you seen anything yet, Joel, right?
No, I just brought it up.
So Marilyn is on the list, Dave.
Okay, because I just kept getting a blank screen. I don't know.
Good morning. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Mary from Lincoln, California.
Hello, Mary. Welcome to the call.
And good morning. This is Tammy from Playa del Rey, California.
Hi, good morning, Tammy. How are you doing?
Fine, thanks. How about you?
Just well, thank you. Good morning, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Aloha, hi. This is Gina from Oklahoma.
Hey, Gina.
Hi, hi. Happy New Year to you.
Los Angeles.
Who's that from Los Angeles?
Debbie.
Hi, Debbie. Welcome to the call. Hey, thank you.
James Hicks, Alexandria, Virginia.
Hello, welcome to the call. How are you?
To God be the glory.
All right. Good morning. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Carolyn. I'm from Sacramento.
Hello, Carolyn. How are you?
I'm slowly getting better.
All right. The progress will continue. Are you staying in Sac or are you going to move?
No, I'm staying here until I go back in February.
All right. Oh, back to Uganda again.
Yes.
All right, you have a brave soul, my dear friend.
Well, either that or I'm crazy like my family.
I agree with that as well, yes. Good morning to those who just joined in. This is the Sunday Grid Healing Call. Please say your name and location.
My name is Michael. I'm from Chicago, Illinois.
All right. Welcome to the call. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Oh,
hey,
yes.
Chris in Memphis.
Hey, Chris. Good morning. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm good.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Good morning.
I'm from
Rexville. Hello. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Good morning. Hi. It's Eileen from New Jersey.
Hello, Eileen. Welcome to the call.
Morning. Good morning. I was
good. Good morning. Welcome to the call.
Hi, this is Danny from Ontario.
Good morning, welcome to the...
Good morning, guys.
From Waterloo.
Welcome to the call.
Michael from Waterloo.
Hello, Michael.
Hi.
For being here, I'm more people join in. Welcome, everybody. Say your name and location.
Hi, this is Willow in Riverside, California.
Yeah, hi, Willow. How are you?
Hi, I'm very good, thank you. I'm late, right?
You're perfect in...
Oh, good.
We could chastise you if you feel pain.
Oh, sure, go right ahead.
Right. The, I think Wynn is looking for the top news. Terry, do you know Wynn has joined? He is online here with us, but I have not heard him yet. And since it's 3 minutes past the hour, Good morning. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Good morning.
Joey, welcome to the call. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you, hi?
Good. Thank you.
Good morning, Zoe.
Good morning.
My name's Zoe.
Hi. Rock to the call. Name a location. Rock to the call, please say your name and location.
Bob in Chico.
I hear Bob from Chico. All right. How are you, Bob?
Doing good. Hi. Get a hold of me sometime. Chico Water Resources. Like to get together.
All right, I work for Chico Electric.
Okay. I'll hunt you down if you don't hunt me.
All right.
So everybody's up in Chico. I'd like to move to Chico.
I'd like to move to Chico.
I've wanted to move to Chico for 20 years.
They got plenty of
room up there. They've got one of the best colleges for video production in the West.
That's right.
I wasn't aware of that.
They were avant-garde 20 years ago.
Good morning, Rock. Please name a location.
My name's River. I'm calling from Alpine, California.
Good morning, and welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Where's Alpine?
It's San Diego County, East County.
Oh. You're
welcome.
Thank you.
And welcome to the next caller. Please name a location.
Rick in Michigan.
Hello, Rick. Welcome to the call.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being here.
But how cold is it in Michigan?
Hey, it's warm. It's got to be almost 25. Cut it out.
Now, welcome to the next caller. Location.
Hi, this is Valerie in Half Moon Bay, California.
Hello, Valerie. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Next person, please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Martha in Coeur d'Alene.
Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Thank you. Valerie.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Any wake-up calls you need to perform today?
I did it already.
Thank you. Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Gary in Los Angeles.
Hello, Gary. How are you?
I'm fine. How about yourself?
Great. Thank you, man.
And Cindy in Peoria, Arizona. How are you?
Cindy, welcome to the call.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Horst from London, Ontario, Canada.
Horst.
Hi, Horst.
Hi, everybody. Good morning.
Hello,
good to be here again.
Horst, I found a beautiful picture of you and your wife on the internet.
Well, thank you. I don't know how we got there.
I was stalking you.
Keeping you busy, right?
That's right. And did I hear Cindy in Peoria?
Yeah, this is Cindy. How
are
you
doing, Wynn? Cindy, did you move?
Oh, I'm still in the same place. I have a different number, though.
Oh, well, send me your number.
I'll do it.
We were coming down to Phoenix, and I want to keep you apprised.
Oh, very good, yeah. I'll send it today to you.
All right.
Okay.
Wynn?
Yes.
Bet you're here, man.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning, dear Edna, you gave my friend.
Thanks, good. Thank you. My daughter is still trying to find the conference number at Skype, so seems like it's not working very well.
Is Terry on the line?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
Morning,
Terry.
Is Daphne on the line?
Yes.
Daphne, good morning.
No, she's not here yet.
Oh, she's not. Okay. Terry, I have to tell
but
you.
But I know.
I have to tell you that Horst got more hellos than you and me.
Back.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, Horsey has that very distinctive, beautiful voice, I think. A very outstanding voice that attracts people to say hi, I think.
It's the accent, I think.
It's your sweet soul, hi.
We have to have Horse give a seminar on the secrets of popularity.
I'm going to say
it's
just
open. Energy.
Pardon me?
It's her energy.
Okay, I think we should start. What do you guys think?
Good morning, Wynn. It's Gary.
Hi, Gary.
Hi, Gary.
Hi.
Now, always trying to stay one step ahead of myself. Did you get the email this morning?
No. No.
Anybody open their email?
No email here.
No, not yet.
It was a lovely poem.
A lovely poem, right?
Yeah.
That is actually a song, okay? And hang on, I better start the recording. I can hear Hyde thinking it. God, as soon as I start the recording, I have to be exceptionally good, you know.
I got the song.
This conference is being recorded.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Wynn.
Now I'm more popular than Horse. Horse, wait a second. Let's just test this. Horse, did you say good morning to everybody?
I don't think he heard you.
I did hear you. Thank you. Yes. I just had my microphone turned off. Hello, everyone.
Hi, Horse.
Hi. All right, Horse.
Thank you.
Horse, you can take over.
You win.
May I jump in? Who loves Wynn?
I do.
Yes.
How about Heist? Yes. I mean, we need Heist to say good morning.
Yes. I love Heist.
Love you, Heist. Yes.
Yes.
Morning, Heist.
See, there we go. Hey, popular man.
With cheerleader.
Now, let's see. Does anybody like Terry?
Hello, Terry.
Good morning, Terry.
Morning, thank you.
Oh, here comes the ultimate question. Who loves himself?
I do.
Yay.
I do. Yay.
Who loves what?
Absolutely. God don't make no junk.
If you don't love yourself, who will?
Oh, themselves. Oh.
That's right.
Well, I didn't even say anything. I didn't understand. I thought he said Tim Tell, and I don't know who that was.
Tim Tell. That's how rumors got started.
Well, God always will.
Now, who loves God?
I do.
I do.
Thank
you. We might as well include the Elohim.
Yes.
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 Well, and who feels loved by God and the Elohim?
I do.
Yes.
Yeah. Is Daphne on the line?
I am. Yes. Daphne is there.
No. Hey. I love Daphne.
Oh, hi, Daphne.
Daphne.
Good morning, Daphne.
Hello.
They like you, Daphne.
What a nice way to start the day.
It's your normal American Sunday morning, but you know we're pioneers, pastors, right?
We're very lucky.
Daphne, when everyone says they love you, is something going off in your mind saying, "What's the catch?"
There's no catch.
What's the catch? Well, no, not really. It's more like, we're all in this together, right? So.
That's right.
Yeah, a round of applause for that one.
Yep. That's right.
Daphne, you have not dialed in as a moderator.
That's because I don't have the moderator pin.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Not in this year.
So, this morning, let me mute everybody for a moment. We'll just have Daphne come in on the half mute, the unmute thing. This morning, you know, I sent out a email this morning, and somebody read it, and they had a poem on it. If you get a chance, open it up right now just starting the call, because, you know, I discovered a lyric on YouTube, and I had heard it many times, but I never really listened to the lyric of that particular song. And it was from a musical quite some time ago called The Man of La Mancha, which was actually Don Quixote, right? And, you know, Carla Ruckert has a little symbol on her website of Don Quixote. And, of course, who is Don Quixote? Now, since I'm going to get literary, Daphne, could you do star six and tell us who Don Quixote was?
Oh, gosh, when you put me on the spot. Don Quixote, well, he was the protagonist of Man of La Mancha, and I just remember he was a Spaniard on a horse out fighting the windmills, and he thought that the windmills were, he thought that he had to defend the land or the people against the enemy, but the enemy turned out to be a windmill, so the enemy was not what he thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
Not a good explanation, but it's what I remember.
Now, do you remember who starred in the Broadway play?
Not offhand, no. Do you?
Peter O'Toole and...
Oh, yeah, Peter O'Toole, yeah.
And Sophia Loren.
Okay, great.
Well, it was a musical. And, you know, I have the experience that oftentimes great songs are channeled. If you look at the process of writing a song, it's not so different from channeling, because you write something, you know, when you're looking at it and you hear a great song, you think, oh, that guy must be amazing or talented or brilliant. But you realize, as a songwriter, I can say this, you realize that you write something down, and then you write something else down, and then you write something else down. You have no idea where it's going, and at the end you say, how did I write that? How did I write that? And I remember one of my night messages years ago was, we've tried to contact you. Oh, how we've tried. So, in other words, if I take that through, I was connecting to the Ra group when I was writing songs. And it was always my amazement. It's other people's amazement about how well I formulated things. And in fact, none of this would be happening right now if I wasn't a songwriter and if I couldn't write songs. Because when I met Daphne originally, can I tell the story, Daphne?
You mean about our connection?
Well, how music was your downfall.
Well, you know what? The artistic rogue was my downfall. Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that you say that, because I woke up this morning thinking about the very person that you reminded me of, and I thought, oh, how strange.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yes, you can tell.
Okay. So I had met Daphne at this conference, and, I mean, we just said hello to each other briefly, and this was in Monterey, and we agreed to have coffee the next day in the hotel lobby. And I was in the lobby, and she was in the lobby. And at first, I didn't recognize her. And then our eyes met. And I sat down, and I said, well, what do you do? And she says, well, I'm an astrologer. And I said, I'm an astrologer. And then she said, I write poetry. And I said, I write poetry. I put music. And then there was a piano in the lobby, and I tapped her on the shoulder and said, come over here. And she sat down next to me, and I ended up playing her a song, and that was it. It woke up all the cellular memories, amazing how that works. So if it wasn't for me playing the song in the lobby of the hotel, then none of this would be happening. And that, I won't say...
Can I add my piece to it?
No.
No? Well, no, it's not derisive. It's just, I mean, it was recognition. You know, when I heard your music, you know, it was great. I loved it. It was beyond great. You reminded me of Randy Newman, and I thought, oh, gosh, what's this about? But it was actually, I felt the connection. I also felt an incredible amount of fear. And I was with a friend of mine, a friend of mine who's a metaphysical counselor who lives up in Northern California, and she had invited me out for dinner that night with her husband. And I made sure to go because I did not want to be around because I thought I might run into you. So I made sure not to be there. And you were persistent, and you left that book of poetry. You left that book of poetry by my room. And I ended up staying up all night reading this book of poetry, and that was the meltdown point. I knew something was up, and I definitely wanted to run the other way. And so there you have it.
Can you hear me? Can hear you, Wynn.
Oh, here we go. I was saying I was muted. If anyone goes on the internet and looks it up, look up Akhenaten Nefertiti poems. You'll see poems that were written 3,000 years ago. Yeah, 3,500 years ago to Nefertiti. But in any case, this was all a precursor to how music is channeled. Not all of it, but occasionally. I'm going to try to, like that song that I played by James Taylor a few weeks ago, Shower the People with Love. Now, I loved that song when I first heard it. Some of you probably had that reaction. And because it seems like an impossible dream that you could shower the people with love. It seems impossible. Here you are in your tiny little body, in your little city, in your little house, and yet every Sunday we actually do it. And, of course, I realize now that James Taylor probably is an artist, had experienced going in front of audiences over and over again and showering the people with love. And we're kind of learning how to do that right here on our Sunday morning sessions. So I was looking for songs, and I came up with a song called From the Man of La Mancha, from that movie of Don Quixote protecting the world from windmills. Now, when people write things, oftentimes they pick images that represent something else, okay? Now, many of us have learned to what we identify the negative in this realm. And it's quite a surprise when you actually learn about it and how effective it is at controlling this realm. And when we think of the negative, if you're not into all of this, you might think of negative as greed, as selfishness, self-servingness, and of course that is negative. But then when you find out that all of that has organized itself rather elegantly, organized itself into societies, secret societies, etc., and you find out how the impact of these secret societies is, it's very mind-blowing and disconcerting. And it's actually hard to believe. And it's not my focus to be exposing that. That's other people's focuses. But nonetheless, I went through my own period of, this can't be real. There must be, nothing could be this powerful and this big influencing this realm. So when I heard the song, I said, this is like the windmills actually are symbolic of all of this negative stuff. And Don Quixote went out to defeat the windmills. Now, I never watched the play, so I don't know how it came out. But nonetheless, there was a song called The Impossible Dream. And I said, I'm going to play that Sunday morning. And I put the lyrics out on the mailing today. And, of course, you might pull the lyrics up. I'm just curious. I want to unmute everybody. Mm-hmm. How many of you are familiar with that song?
I am.
Motown did it fantastically.
Yeah.
Motown,
did you say, with Luther Vandross?
No, I just said Motown did it fantastically. The Temptations and the Supremes did it on a special that was just televised.
Now, who is that that's saying that?
Barry.
This is James in Alexandria, Virginia.
James, are you a musician?
In my heart, I am. I'm an air player, as I call it.
You are, okay. Now, you know, it's very interesting. Did you know that I wrote songs with Brian Holland?
Yes, I remember you saying how you met him. Yes, I remember.
Yeah. And that we had all these synchronicities. Now, he doesn't know this, but as I unfolded all this stuff, Brian and I had worked together in Egypt. And I was his boss. And that's why we had such a connection. Okay?
Wow.
It's kind of amazing.
That's deep.
Yeah. Because we just had synchronicity after synchronicity after synchronicity. And I had connections with a lot of Motown, of the black Motown group that represented the Law of One. The Law of One, for example, when I was in Hollywood, I had a standing invitation from Stevie Wonder to come into, you know, to hang out in his studio. And, you know, Stevie Wonder was a different kind of artist. Michael Jackson, I actually was fixing intercoms and security cameras, and I ended up fixing Michael Jackson's camera. And, of course, when I was there, I sent one of my songs upstairs, and they took it to him, and he sent me back a signed album. I think it was Thriller at the time. So it's really fascinating how all this works. And, you know, it's all of these things that were happening to me that kept convincing me this was real. So I looked for what I thought was going to be the best recording of The Impossible Dream, because there were many of them on the internet. You can go on YouTube and look up The Impossible Dream. I didn't find the Supremes on the internet. I found Luther Vandross. I found the original recording from the play. And but I picked this one by this woman, Sarah somebody, who I never heard of, but I thought was exquisitely beautiful. And it's going to have very lo-fi, unfortunately. Now, maybe if you're listening on BBS radio, it's going to sound good. I don't know. But I know I did a little test on the phone listening to it. And I said, I'm going to play it anyway. And if you take the lyrics out, if you open up the email I sent this morning, you can read the lyrics. And I guess why that song particularly touches me is because I think that on these calls, we are dreaming the impossible dream. And it kind of is a very emotional, beautiful song. And so on that note, I'm going to play it.
To dream the impossible dream. To fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go. This is my quest, to follow.
Okay, I'm just curious. Could you guys hear it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
How many ended up with tears streaming down their face?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
In the south, I think we would call that a hymn.
Yeah. All right. How many heard it for the first time?
I know every word by heart.
You do.
Liz.
Seven it.
All right. So, we are the impossible dreamers. And we're doing it for the world, and we're doing it for ourselves. We are all not only attacking the windmills of the world, but we are confronting the windmills of our lower consciousness. Every one of us here, every one of us is learning how to be a winner, a conqueror. And it's not a conquering of war or battle. It is a war inside yourself, though. And, you know, one of the things that I've learned is that I am never going to be perfect. And neither are you. Neither is Terry or Daphne. Everyone has our natures. And it's not a matter of destroying your nature, because it ain't going to happen. It's a matter of working around your nature, deciding on which voices that come up in your mind you're going to listen to, which choices you're going to make every day in your life. Because you do have a choice. Now, sometimes Carla Ruckert says, choosing love over fear. And I think that's an oversimplification. Because everything is always present all the time. So I don't think it's like fear disappears. I don't think your lower nature disappears. It's there. It's just part of the mix. It's like you have all of this stuff coming up in your consciousness, and your mind and your willpower is always making the choices of what do I listen to? And it's in the choices of what you listen to that comes up that allows you to win the war over your negative side and to win the outer war. I shouldn't use the word war, but for the moment I'll use it because it's, I don't know what else to put in there, but the outer conflicts that are going on because our sources explain to us, and I had an idea this might be true, but they've said it in so many words that they look at our planet, they look at our population as one being. They see us as one consciousness, even though down here we're all separated in billions of consciousnesses. They see us as one, and they can see the predisposition of that one consciousness, how it leans one way or the other. And each of us is making a difference. In fact, one person who starts holding the light energy, starts holding the law of one energy, starts leaning towards that, I can't remember, I think it's that is impacting at least 1,000 other people. Because the majority of people are not bad. They're indifferent. They're apathetic. And they're ignorant. And they're ignorant of all of this material because it's never been presented to them. To them, we would look crazy. Many of you have learned that when you try to talk about this to people. So, each of you, but even though we look crazy if they hear us, people sense when you're holding a positive energy. People sense it. You impact many, many people in the course of a day. And even if people are not seeing you, you're impacting the vibrations of the physical location where you are. And when people say, how am I to be of service? What greater service could you provide than holding this energy and changing the energy of everything around you? And this is how the world changes. It changes bit by bit by bit by bit by bit by bit, tiny bit, tiny bit. And before you know it, there's a shift in consensus reality. And that is what we're aiming for. We're aiming to deliver ourselves, and we are part of the shift in consensus reality. And the more people holding this energy, the more reality changes, the more interventions, connection are possible with the higher sources, which is us. We're them, they're us, and we're all one. And yet, we can say intellectually they're us. We could also say the negative in this realm is us. It's all us. And again, it's like, what are you choosing to focus and support? What is your energy supporting? Because what you focus on is how you're going to grow, how you're going to move. That's creating your motion forward. So if you focus on everything that's wrong, and that goes from the highest to the lowest. What do I mean by that? Well, yes, there is inequity in the world. Yes, there are people starving. Yes, there are groups that are consciously working to put together systems to hold you back. And yes, there's the parts of your own unconscious that look ugly, and the people around you look ugly. There's parts of them that look ugly, and that is them. It is them, but it's only part of them. It is not all of them. And so it's like a smorgasbord. And what are you picking off the smorgasbord to eat? That's your choice. And this is how you evolve yourself, by having a very strong discipline to pick the best things off the smorgasbord. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't notice all of the ugly things in yourself and in other people. The key is to notice them without any judgment, to notice them in a neutral way. And because there is advantage to noticing them. For example, in the world, there's a lot of negative agendas. And it's not a bad idea to know what the negative agendas are so you can steer clear of them. Because some of the negative agendas don't look negative. They're tricky. They look like love and light. And so it's good to notice them, to be aware. It's good to know how the negative can create news events that look negative and cause you to hate other people, like Arabs or black people or whoever. It's happened all through history. And many of the things which have caused these kinds of feelings have been programmed intentionally by the negative. Now, you can get really disgusted with it. You could, but that's not a good idea because you can't control it. But it's good to be aware of it so that when it comes, if it comes, you don't have their desired response, which would be to hate someone else or consider someone to be the enemy who's really not. But in terms of your choices, choose the positive. Align with the positive. If you want to, if you want to be service to others. You know, the interesting thing in the raw material is, let's look at how this works. You know, saying if you're service to self, you can graduate this realm. And if you're service to others, you can graduate this realm. And what does that really look like? How does service to self graduate? How does service to others graduate? Well, in your life, you've got to make your life work. You have to draw things to you so you can feel good, hopefully. And it's good to feel good. It's good to feel complete. It's good to feel like the universe is supporting you. It's good to have. Everyone needs energy. Everyone needs energy one way or another, whether we get the energy from our family, from our friends, from our high sources, from these calls. We all need energy. And it's okay to need energy. We're all needy in that way. And when I was younger, I thought that once you became enlightened, you wouldn't be needy anymore, and that you would just walk around like an illuminated glowworm, and everyone would say, "He's here. Look at that energy." And there's an illusion when you think of things like bodhisattvas, enlightenment, illumination, all those words, God realization. You think that one day you step through a portal and you're perfect. And everything changes after that. And it's not been my experience that it works that way. Even when somebody identifies themselves in that way, everyone has human needs, and they need certain things. And otherwise, you have to cope with loneliness, emptiness, separation. And connecting to the higher realms of spirit can help you satisfy your human needs. When you can feel loving energy come down upon you from nowhere, and you realize you could be homeless, you could be anywhere, and you can call that energy in, and it will come. That is a wonderful power to know that that's present. And to develop that kind of connection. And when you can come on these calls and you feel that energy come in, is the first step to incorporating that in your life, where you have access to a totally pure source, I think it's pure, that answers your call and can give you energy and helps handle that needy part of yourself and helps heal that needy part of yourself. And it's great to have people that you can do that with, a lot harder with people. But nonetheless, it's possible. And how does that work? Well, everyone is out there, on some level, trying to feel energy that completes them. We're all trying that. And that's not bad. That's what drives us. That's creates our direction. But the negative, what we call the negative, which needs this energy just as much as we do, first of all, in general, cannot get it from the high realms of spirit. That is cut off to them. And so they attempt to get it from other people. Because their service to self, they will do things that you might not do, i.e. they will attempt to trick you. They will attempt to enslave you. They will attempt to mislead you. They don't care what they do until they get the energy. In, you know, worst-case scenarios, why do they do sacrifices? Sacrifices were a way of tapping into the energy of a person when they were dying. So it's horrible, but nonetheless, that's the way it goes. That's what happens. And according to raw material, the negative, if you're negative and you want to graduate this realm, you need a 95% dedication to service to self. What does that mean? It means that you have to now take your entire life and 95% of everything in your life has to be focused energy back on you. And that gives you the thrust to graduate. And so that's a big job. And you have to be fairly brutal. You can see why service to self people can be so strong in how they attempt to manipulate and control others. Now, they may not know this on a conscious level, but they are trying to direct energy towards them by any way they can so they can have enough energetic thrust to graduate. So you can be having different people coming over doing massages, people giving you sex, people being your servants, paying everybody to do things. Now, the reason the percentage has to be so high, 95%, is because there's an insatiableness about it. Because there's not free will, the energy doesn't regenerate. When you move into the positive, the energy regenerates. You see, if you're manipulating somebody and if you're enslaving someone, once they are in your field, the energy usually stops and you need someone else. The good example about this is a guy, I say guys, probably there's women, but guys are more like this, a guy that's trying to fulfill himself with sex, and he's coming from the negative. So what will he do? He'll tell the woman anything, so she goes to bed with him. I love you. I want to be with you forever. You are the woman of my dreams. And because he's negative, he doesn't have to mean it. He can just say it. And if the woman surrenders, then they may have a relationship for 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, and before you know it, there's no energy in the relationship. And the guy now starts thinking it's her, there's something wrong with her, and he starts looking for someone else. And so that's an example of why the percentages in the negative have to be so high, because you can't sustain the energy. It lasts so long, and then it dies, and then you need more. And with the positive, with service to others, because there's free will, there's much more chance of sustaining the energy. And because there's no lie, it was founded on something that was true, and that no one is trying to manipulate anyone's energy. If you look at our calls, what we offer on these calls, there's no hooks here. It's just offered, and every time, and this was to my own amazement, every time we show up to do this call, the energy comes in. And from a human side, I would never believe that I could do that, to do three calls a week and keep constant energy, new energy. And you're showing up, and we're not charging. There's no hidden agendas. And so there's a free will association, and the energy is always here. Our sources are always here. And it's easy. And that is the nature of service to others, where I don't even know if service to others describes it exactly right, but the free will association allows the possibility of constant renewal of energy. Now, in Christianity, they talked about it, the rebirth in Christ, right? Same way, I think, of saying the same thing, but with it in a different context. Being able to be reborn in the moment, to let everyone around you be reborn in the moment. So the energy is always renewed. And when you're doing that, if that is service to others, then you are operating out of a need of 51% service to others in order to graduate this realm, according to the raw material. And maybe you can intuitively grasp how that works by what I just said. Because, you know, oftentimes people hear this and it becomes like part of a fundamentalist idea, a raw fundamentalist from the Ruckert material. Well, I got to be 51%. How do I know? Am I 51%? Let me see here. Let me get the meter out. And you start looking at other people and say, well, your service to others, your service to self. That is not the best way to do it. And the reason is, everyone is both. You can't help but be both, service to self and service to others. It's in your nature. You don't eliminate your lower nature. You shoot above it. And you don't let it control you. And if you judge others, you're judging yourself. You know, this is what happens. People come together in groups and they think they're superior to other people. And they start judging them. And they come together and they say, this person is this and this person is that. And now they are moving into the very thing that they're trying to overcome, this judgment of people. And that's why there's that phrase, judge not, lest ye shall be judged. It's one thing to observe. It's one thing to discern, to say, I'm staying out of that. But when you start judging, i.e. judging is making something wrong, and when you start doing that, you are now polarizing with what you are making wrong. Now, this is a big bone of contention, because if you're a traditional religious person, even though, now, I'm not a Bible scholar, so I might be wrong here, but, you know, Jesus said, turn the other cheek. He said, judge not, lest ye shall be judged. Well, he's saying this not to be good, but that you don't get hooked by the negative. Because if you confront it, you're hooked by it. Even when you're against it, you're hooked by it. When you start brandishing everything as being, that's evil, that's evil, you know, you're now, that's a judgment. You're getting hooked. And I know there's a better way of doing it than brandishing it as evil. Even though it's horrible, even though it creates pain and hurt for other people, you do not want to polarize with it, because the act of polarizing with it hooks you into it. It makes you become what you're polarized against. Before you know it, you'll be walking around saying, that's evil, that's evil. And then when the very thing that comes in front of you that is holding the Christed energies, that is holding the radiance of the higher realms, and you look at it, you're going to say, that's evil. And this is what historically happens. Even if you look at Jesus, I mean, if Jesus was the guy who was supposed to deliver the Jews, and the Jews at the time, many of them said, he is evil. He couldn't be that. And they missed it. And then he was killed. So this is all extremely, extremely tricky. And each of us is sitting there on a daily basis trying to figure this out, trying to figure out how to make your best decisions every day. And you can't follow anything. You can't follow me. You have to not follow something, but learn how to discern. Learn how to distinguish. And this is the key to each of our deliverance. Learning those, how do I say it? Learning being a full, complete in one's ability to every day figure this out. Figure out. I'm just like distracted a second because I'm on Skype, but it looks like my computer, my battery is going dead, and I'm afraid I'm going to get cut off. So, let's see. What should I do?
Can you call in with Ray, his phone?
Yeah, I don't know if it's charged. What a problem, huh?
Don't worry, Vin.
Do you have a plug-in for your battery?
Well, I plugged in the computer. For whatever reason, it says it's not charging. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stay on the computer because maybe it's doing what it's supposed to. But I'll call in on my cell phone, which is not as good. Just in case it goes out, I'll just switch over. So just a moment.
You can walk to Teddy, right, in case?
And then I can walk in the other room also.
Yeah, all right.
Just a second here.
It gives me a chance to tell everyone over here, I love you guys, and we're living in a beautiful time, and like Wynn is saying, it is about our own intention, what we are focusing on.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Okay, well, I'm going to continue. If...
Now you have an echo.
You know what? That's the background. Hang on a second. And, you know, I have to tell you, we're talking about negative and positive. In this period of time we're in, there's a potential equalization of everything. You know, in the past, if you wanted to get something out into the world, it always took money. It took a lot of money. And the internet is almost like a microcosm of oneness. Because with the internet, things are free. And here we are talking to people all over the world, and we're not paying for the conference line. We're paying a little bit for the internet. But we're doing this basically on your donations and on the little things we sell when we sell something. And we are expanding. We are reaching more people. And it's like the internet is like almost symbolic of the cosmic, the one cosmos, the oneness in the universe, because it connects the entire planet. There's no way I could have figured out all the things I figured out that give me the confidence, that I was on the right track without the internet. You know, I've said this over quite a few years at the beginning stages. Terry, Daphne, and myself were all scratching our heads, saying, can this be real? Can they be who they say they are? Is this possible? I mean, it didn't seem possible. It seemed not how you would imagine it. You know, having read spiritual things and talking about God's heavenly throne and angels all around, and you have this picture of how it's supposed to look. And never did I read it ever in anywhere saying it's supposed to look like somebody knocks you on the shoulder and tells you those guys want to talk to you again, which is how it happened. And it took a lot of checking things out, of discernment, trying to say, hey, maybe this is real. And for you, coming into these calls, you have to check it out. You have to use your discernment. All of you came here and say, this can't be real. And yet, it passes. As far as I can tell, it's hard to find something wrong with it, because there's no hooks. There's nothing grabbing anybody. There's little miracles. There's group energy. There's feeling of energies. There's people that get messages independently. It's bloody amazing to sit and watch this. And you can all watch it because we do it publicly on these calls. And if you happen to be one of those people that's new and checking us out, just keep checking us out. Don't draw any conclusions. Let your heart be your guide. And on that note, I am going to do our little planetary, our personal meditation, and then we're going to hear a message from them for the day, and then we'll do our planetary healing session, and we'll be done. So, one of the things I didn't do, I'm just realizing this, let me do this. I just have all these people on our healing list. And I'd like to tell you all, suggest to you, we have a webpage called healing.intelligent-infinity.com. healing.intelligentinfinity.com. And we have another page called intelligentinfinity.com, intelligent-infinity.com. And if you go to the In the Light, all one word, a form comes up. And you can put things on that form for personal healing, for planetary healing. And as soon as you put it on the form and submit the form, it's automatically on the web, automatically posted on the web. And anyone can look at it and send love, light, energy. You're on a team shift group to use that. So I'm going to read some of the things that are on that form, and it's not a bad idea on our Sunday session to open your computer up to that form, which is healing.intelligent-infinity.com. We have Michael in Chicago, who's sending the light to his son, is having terrible pain in his right foot. And we have Michael, I see you put that in five times. We got it. Just letting you know. Ivan in Pinckney, Michigan. Chronic sinus congestion, swollen lymph nodes. ST in Michigan. Healing light decay. May your heart issues be resolved. Cult in Woodstock, Ontario. Sending healing to his stepfather. Kathy in Las Vegas. She puts the publication of her book into the light. And her little chihuahua is healed. And Joan is sending the light to her son in Barrie, Ontario. Sending the light to her son's spinal health. And Michael, oh, we've already done him, okay? Joe in Los Angeles, financial prosperity, professional success in his therapy practice. And love, light, and healing to expand and encompass the planet and humanity. Nate in Pontiac, Michigan, puts his wife into the light to heal her lupus. Priscilla in Sacaton, Arizona, sends the light to her mother. Miglenny in Varna, I don't know what city, healing of her body, relationships with friends. Pauline in Pomona, California. By the way, Pomona is where Daphne and I first lived when she came to L.A. We lived in a place called Ganesha Hills, which was in the hills over Pomona, which was about 30 miles from Los Angeles. Pauline, asked for a personal healing for herself. Christopher, personal growth and cooperation with his partner. Marlene in Canada, sending light to her daughter, okay? And take a moment now, and if you have something, an issue, we'll have at least one more time where we do this on the call, an issue that you would like to put into the light, I didn't read your name. This is a telepathic situation where our sources are paying attention, and we'll take a silent moment where you can hold the space for whatever you would like to be heard and know that it is. So we're going to do a little visualization that can help strengthen.
We cannot.
Sean, far away, Win.
We cannot hear you.
You can't. Can you hear me now?
You sound far away.
Testing one, two.
Not so loud. No.
Hello? No.
You sound in the distance. We can hear you, but you sound in the distance.
Let me try something here.
It's getting better now.
Getting better?
Yes.
Could do anything. I'll switch microphones. Hang on.
We're hanging on.
Hello?
Yes, that sounds very hollow.
You still can't hear me well, huh?
You sound a lot clearer, I mean a lot louder, but very hollow.
Okay, it's got to be the Skype connection, because I changed my microphone.
Okay, it's a lot better now. You're, I think, a little too close to the mic.
Okay, there we go.
Great.
Let me know if it gets worse, because I'll use the cell phone. We're connected on the cell phone. Cell phone.
This is pretty good.
This is pretty good?
Yep.
See, this is the cell phone. Okay. All right. So, the universe is one energy, subdivided trillions and trillions of times. And we humans are at the bottom of the subdivisions, except that we have this unusual ability to exist in our bodies and outside of our bodies. Now, most of us don't take advantage of that. And on this call, we're learning to tap into that part of ourselves that's not just in our body, not contained by our body. And when you start moving into a higher awareness, you start to directly experience that everything has part of itself that's not in its physical container. Every person, every rock, every plant, everything, the earth, the sun, the planets, they're all expressions of this one energy being broadcast by what some people call the one infinite creator. And so what we found is on these Sunday calls, I could do a visualization, and if people would go with it, they would have the experience of what it felt like to be one with the universe, or at least how it felt like to expand beyond the container of their body. And so we're going to go through that exercise right now. And if you're comfortable, just go along with it and see if you feel a shift inside yourself. And for some people that are checking us out that are new, don't go along with it. Just listen to it. Keep coming, because you kind of have to trust what we're doing to go along with this, because you have to let go and you have to let energies move. And it's a very vulnerable position. And if you don't feel comfortable doing that, you don't have to. Again, this is totally free will. And you move into things as they're comfortable to you. So we start out looking at the earth. And remember, everything I say is part of the same energy. Everything I say is you, because ultimately, you are the energy of the universe. You are an expression of all that is being contracted down
into that little point of physicalness that you call your body. And you're not your body. Your body is a temporary container. You're occupying your body. And your body is containing who you are. And when you die, you'll move on. And there will be other containers. And there have been other containers in the past. And the illusion is so perfect because every time you get contained by a body, you have instant amnesia, and you don't remember anything in the past. You don't remember that you had other containers, other lifetimes. And yet the energy of who you are has been formed by all those other containers. So the earth is a container for a spirit. And we're going to look at the earth, and we all exist in the field of the earth. We're going to see the earth's energy coming from her center through the ground, and put your feet flat on the ground or on your bed so the soles are facing towards the earth. And we're going to bring the energy of the earth through our feet. Now, according to what they say, the earth is alive. It can think, it can feel. And right now, if you're feeling the earth is feeling you. So let's tell the earth we love her. And some of you can feel the earth sending her energy back. Now, it's good to love the earth, okay? You know, the earth is a conscious being, and she makes choices. We've gone through thousands of years of history on this planet where the majority of people did not know the earth was alive, did not even consider that you're supposed to love her. And in fact, not only did they not express love for the earth, they expressed disregard. And then when there's wars, battles, bombs going off, that's pretty upsetting to the earth. It's like, imagine somebody was setting off weapons in your brain, okay? And it's hard to love them. It's painful. Well, that's what the history of mankind is. And right now, we're loving the earth. And we're expressing gratitude to the earth for hosting us, for putting up with mankind. And we move the earth energy through our feet, through our legs, through our calves, through our solar plexus, through our chest, and through our heads. It's like a finger of energy from the earth moving through our entire body. And you know the word grounded? You learn to do this no matter where you are. You've always got a friend in the earth. And now, we are going to take that energy and move it through the top of our heads into the space above our head. We can start off 1 foot above our head. We're not leaving our body. We're in our body, we're connected to the earth, and we're in a continuum of expanding from our body, from the center of our being, moving through the top of our head, up to the ceiling. And it's like, you know, if you see those pictures of enlightened people that are spraying energy out of the top of their head and going all these colors in their body, it's kind of like that. This energy coming out of the top of your head and hitting the ceiling. And we're going to go through the ceiling and through the roof, through any rooms that are in between our ceiling and the roof. And we're above our house now. And again, you can use that image of those colored pictures of people who are going through the top of their head, and you see fountains of light, and the fountain is just getting higher and higher and higher through the sky, through the veil of our planet, through the solar system. And suddenly all of our fountains start spraying on each other. We get close because we're not traveling in a linear way. We're traveling in a converging way. And things converge and they come together. And there is a place where they are together. And each of us, as we move up into that place, we touch each other's energies. We become part of each other, just temporarily. This is a temporary touching. And when we touch energies, we move into an experience of the law of one. And there's an alchemy that happens when energies combine out of free will. And that's what it is. It's a free will combination that those of you that are participating are choosing. And we start to heal each other. Because in our shadow sides, each of us has a different aspect to our shadow. And when we come together, your aspect is different than mine. So your energy starts healing mine, my energy starts healing yours. And we can feel it. You can feel it in your body. It feels good. It feels connected. And, you know, everyone that's on this line, everyone that's on the replay, you are making this possible. I'm just an orchestra conductor. I am not doing it. You are the orchestra. And if you have a conductor and you don't have an orchestra, you don't have any music. So we are doing this as a team. And each of us, just by going in the flow, is allowing their instrument to be played. So let's just, as we said to the earth that we love her, let's say that to each other. We love each other. We love you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for making this possible. Now we're going to invite our sources. When we say our sources, I mean our sources of channeled information, our sources of connection in the higher realms. They identify themselves as these two group souls. We're going to invite them into this group energy that we are creating. Thank you. this is a good moment, once again, to put things in the light. You can imagine that they're telepathic, and if it's in your mind, they can read it. And we do this for the highest good, honoring free will. So put your situations into the light, the people that you care about, into this field of energy, this field of loving energy. Put your healings into this field of energy. Put our planet, we'll be doing more of that in a moment, put our planet into this field of energy. And we're going to bring the energy back down from this place of oneness. Through the cosmos, through the sky, through our roof, through our ceiling, pop into the top of our head, through our bodies and back into the earth. And notice how your body feels right now while you're in the center of this energy. All right. Now, at this moment, we're going to bring through a message. It's 12:30, and let me see here if Daphne is on the line. Are you there, Daphne? Can you do star six?
I believe she has dropped out, Wynn.
She's dropped out?
Yeah.
Okay. She's there.
Oh.
Hello.
I'm glad you're here. Oh, you're on the other line. Okay.
All right. Hang on just a second here. Can you get right up close to the microphone, Daphne?
I'm right here. Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Okay.
But you're a little low. I'm sure I'm going to get emails saying we had a hard time hearing Daphne.
I'll try to speak loudly. Does that work a little bit better?
That works a little better, yes. Speak loudly, okay?
Okay.
And, hang on a second. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Daphne, Terry, myself, and everyone on this line, and everyone on the replays, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we ask our sources to bring a message through Daphne for all of us right in this moment.
Thank you. One moment, please.
We greet you. We greet you. We greet you in the love and the light of the one infinite creator. We greet you on this day of the Epiphany, the feast of the Epiphany, of the old Christmas, of the old calendar, of the Orthodox counting of the days, of the Christ Mass, of the completion of east to west, of west to east, of the balancing, of the equilibrium, of the harmonic, of the going back, of the going forth, and of the retrieval of the essence. The time you are entering, this is a time of the bridging. The time you are entering, this is a time of the going forth. This is a time of the traversing. This is a time of going from the known, from the tangible, to the unknown, to the yet to be fulfilled, to the yet to be conceived, to the yet to be known. You are charged at this point with a great mandate, with a great mission. From our perspective in the celestial realm, from the perspective of the Ra on, we see a newness and a necessity, a having to build, a having to fashion, a having to put energetic focus into tangible, pragmatic blocks, building blocks. Building blocks which first start with relations one to another, with conceptions of design, of new parameters, of new ways of orchestrating energies in a harmonic that is inclusive, that is satisfying, that is foundational, which provides for the all and for the every. You are in a time of leaving behind those ways, those means, those institutions which have only served a portion of your collective humanity, which have only served a portion of those who have necessities, for you all have necessities. Now you are being asked to create that which serves necessities for all, that which honors all. So the baseline frequency is no longer domination, is no longer competition, though natural excellence shall show itself not as a dominating factor, but as a factor which serves most highly for all, bringing all to a level where their unique light can shine. For this is what this time essentially is about, honoring the uniqueness and the God-like expression that is inherent in each and every soul, each and every expression of God's source, which is each and every one of you. Yes, every one of you. It matters not what you think of yourself. It matters not how you judge yourself.
it matters not what you think of your abilities or non-abilities. Inherently, all judgments against yourself are false. To judge yourself as unworthy is to judge the Creator as unworthy. You are an aspect of the eternal divine Creator. For you to judge yourself unworthy is to judge creation unworthy. So, we would ask you in these beginning weeks of the January and on into the February to understand that each of you has a unique part to play in the building of what some refer to as the Terra Nova, the new Earth, the ascended Earth, the fifth dimensional Earth. There are many names. But the important thing to remember is that the naming is a vibrational change. It is a perceptual change. And that is a collective building now coming forth from a place of not survival, but of the heart, of giving each and every person that which they need, that which would be fulfilling, and that which is indeed a path-cutting example of God frequency. This is new territory. This is new territory. This is new land. This is new terra firma. Because right now it's not terra firma. Right now it's terra conceiva. This is new earth being conceptualized, because it must first be conceptualized in your mind before it can be made tangible and made real. And that job, that task, lies with each and every person. Not just in this group, but in many other like-minded groups and associations. Some not even thinking of themselves as metaphysical or spiritual. Some thinking of themselves, such as, for example, Habitat for Humanity, as purely humanitarian. But the goal is the same, to serve humanity. Think with your heart. Weld your heart to your head. Balance, trust, fortitude. You have only just arrived. There is much, much work, much creativity, much forging ahead, and much fortitude and courage required. This is indeed path-cutting time. Path-cutting requires tremendous agility and tremendous perseverance. Thank you.
Loud and clear.
And thank you so much, Daphne, for bringing that through. And I think on Sundays we're going to be alternating between Daphne and Terry. And I just want to thank both of them for making the sacrifices they've made to be present with this work. And how lucky we are. I can't say this enough, to have two such extraordinary beings being able
to tap into the intelligence of the higher realms, each from their own unique way, each delivering the same message, but through the construct of their own experience. You know, it's a group energy. So the person delivering the message is part of the group. They're not just like a ventriloquist. And other people, the channel, in some cases, are like ventriloquists because they put their consciousness aside and they bring through a message. This is a co-creation, as I get it. This is how I see it, after having been in the middle of it for so many years, that the person speaking is part of the group energy for that moment, and the group energy is working through the individuality of that person, which is why it sounds differently. And the amazing thing is the energies that so many of you feel and email me that you're validating that we're doing this. I got an email just a moment ago from Wilbert Stevenson in Brooklyn, who said he was seeing an animated movie illustrating what I was saying while he was listening on the computer with his eyes closed. And he saw the Elohim energy flowing through the universe and entering the crown chakra of one person. And that person was lit up, and the energy moved out in waves from this person, impacting other people in his or her sphere of influence. Then the people being impacted also lit up and began impacting others. And the surprising thing that struck me was that the Elohim energy emanating from the person who received it from the Elohim was not only impacting people, the air, the trees, the grass, the rivers, the mountains, the insects, equipment, was also being impacted by that energy. And that is exactly how I see it. That's exactly what I intuit. And this is the understanding of what it means to be the ground crew. And tomorrow, on our Monday night call, I'm going to talk about a famous science fiction writer that off to the side was receiving Elohim understandings, but never spoke about it publicly, although many of his stories turned into major movies after he died. And he kept a journal, and I'm going to share something from his journal tomorrow that you'll be amazed at how close what he was saying matches the things that we've learned. And he was doing this in 1978, before the raw material from Carla Ruckert. And so tune in tomorrow, and it's a wonderful validation for this work we're doing and this shift that's occurring. Right now, we're going to take this group energy and we're going to focus it on our planet. And do a planetary healing. Now, as you can gather from Wilbert's comment about how he was seeing a person holding this energy and radiating it out and affecting other people and trees, that is part of the healing process of the planet. Each of us that does this is participating in that. And no one may know you're doing it. It's a quiet ministry. Although people will sense changes around you, they won't understand it. And they may not be ready to understand it. Trying to help them understand it might actually cause them to resist it. So the important thing is to hold the space. Don't look for acknowledgement or recognition. That will come as you master learning how to communicate with the holding of the energy. And we are now a group energy. And we can use our intentions to steer that energy. So we take this huge group, and this is huge. We have ourselves, we have our sources. And we're going to surround our entire planet with this energy. Now, our planet has many areas of darkness all over it. And we're going to move this energy through the cracks, through the pathways. And as it moves through the pathways, it might be surrounded by dark energy, but the dark energy has to respond to it. It's like a dark room that if you turn on the light, the room has to turn light. It may not stay light. When you leave the room, the light may go off. But for the moment, it's light. And we move surrounding the earth and glowing brightly wherever we're creating a path. And in some cases, the light stays on. And we descend amongst everyone, all the light workers, all the indigo and crystal children. We, meaning this huge group, descends and surrounds everyone that's reaching for higher vibration. And if their high self gives permission, they can join us, even when their conscious minds don't know. We send them support. We send them unfoldment. There are so many seeds, so many millions and millions of seeds on this planet waiting to be watered, to be awakened. Beings that have come here to hold this energy, but haven't learned how to do it. And the hope for our future is in the awakening of all these seeds. And we reach towards them on the inner levels, honoring their free will, giving them the potential to sense and feel energies. And now our group has even gotten bigger. And we focus, as we always do, on the earthquake zones. You notice there was an earthquake a couple days ago in Alaska, one of the areas on the Ring of Fire, which is the most volatile earthquake zone on our planet, the land masses surrounding the Pacific Ocean. So let's take our energies and turn it into a huge vortex of light. We see it coming down on the Pacific Ocean, huge, surrounding all the land masses around the Pacific Ocean, penetrating through the Earth, getting the Earth's cooperation, because she has some say about earthquakes, and asking that earthquakes be released gradually and away from population centers. All the way from the tip of South America, up through South America, Central America, Mexico, California, Oregon, Washington, Vancouver, across the southern area of Alaska, down the eastern coast of Russia, Indonesia, Singapore, Hong Kong, Japan. We ask for special energy and release in that area of Fukushima and any radioactivity that can be reduced. Down through Australia, New Zealand, and Hawaii, and the Pacific Ocean, all the islands, we move to the center of our country, what's called the New Madrid Fault, which some people say, if it really blasts, could create a pathway of water from the Great Lakes to the Gulf of Mexico. We ask for protection and capping of those energies, and that it not be allowed to occur. We go to the Mid-Atlantic Fault, and we go to anywhere on our planet where there are fault lines and surround them with light, and we ask for mitigation. We ask for the Earth's cooperation in this. And while we're surrounding our planet, we ask for rain in those areas where there's drought. We ask for the interventions to stop any weapons of mass destruction, nuclear weapons from going off for the highest good of all concerned. We ask for love and compassion to enter the hearts of all of those people in decision-making positions, to make decisions that are connected with compassion and empathy. And we ask for protection from toxic elements in our environment, from chemtrails and anywhere else, and that each of us can withstand those toxic materials and any frequencies and radiations artificially produced. Now, I'm just going to check. Is Carla Ruckert here? Okay. She was threatening to come in at the end of the call.
If so, Carla, press star 6.
I think I gave her the moderator code, though. Okay, well, you know what, it's 12:58, it's time to bring this to a close.